Just reading this evening is taken from Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I'll be reading verses 15 through 22. Matthew 22, 15 through 22. I'll be reading from the New King James. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his cult. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrite? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Wow.
I'm always thankful for the opportunities that I have. I'm thankful for the prayer, the scripture reading, the songs, all of those things. I come from a family of teachers. My dad's a teacher, my older brother's a teacher, my younger brother's a teacher, and I'm a teacher. I'm surrounded by teachers all the time. Every family gathering is surrounded with teacher talk of some type or another. It's just been part of my life for a long, long time. But when I think about who the greatest teacher is, I think it hands down, it goes to Jesus. And as I started digging into this lesson, I just realized, yeah, we just don't have the time, do we? To look at all the attributes of Jesus and all of his many wonderful qualities and all the things that he did. And I mean, you can just analyze every moment, just like the moment that we just had there, just a wonderful moment where Jesus, even though being challenged, conquers again. Again and again and again, he amazes. But Jesus was considered a teacher. In fact, when we look at the highlights throughout the Bible, I mean, it just says teacher, teacher, teacher. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 24, it says, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." In fact, if you look through, it's around 29 times, "teacher, teacher, teacher." You see it again and again and again. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. This evening, I'd like to look at three things that I really admire about Jesus and him being a teacher. Three things that I try to follow in my profession of being a teacher many times, that I look at, I admire, because Jesus does these things far better than me. Number one, is Jesus really understood teaching principles? You know, when you go off to school to become a teacher, they say you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And what's amazing is Jesus, as he goes throughout the land, he seems to have all of this naturally. You know, all those things that they try to teach us in school, and they say, you should try to do this, you should try to do this, you should try to do this. When you really boil it down, Jesus has so many of those teaching principles just buried within. Such things as repetition, such things as stories, such things as teaching in the moments that come upon you. I think Jesus did all of those things. I think one of the most powerful that Jesus had was repetition. When we look through the teachings of Jesus, we see the repetition of phrases, we see the repetition of important ideas, we see the repetition of principles. And you know, the amazing thing about that is without repetition, we really don't learn. The only thing that separates someone else from someone else is really, it's just a matter of repetitions. Now, some of us need a few more repetitions than others, but really it boils down to that. You can really pretty much learn anything, it's just a matter of repetition. how many times you're exposed to it. And think about the things that you know the most, the things that you've been exposed to the most, such as your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3s. Why do you know those the best? Because they've been repeated over and over and over again. Sometimes in songs, sometimes just saying them, just practicing them sometimes. But repetition is so very important. And when you look through the teaching of Jesus, that's something that you see. He repeats the important ideas. He repeats important phrases. He repeats important principles over and over and over again. And then I kind of went down a big rabbit hole. I started looking at the things that Jesus repeated the most. But what I found interesting, kind of humored me for a minute, is one of the most repeated phrases of Jesus. He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." You know, that made me feel all right, because in an 8th grade class, I seem to have to say something like that all the time. You know? "He who has ears, let him hear what I'm about to say." Like, drawing their attention in, because it seems like so many times our attention will drift off, especially 8th graders, their attention will drift off. But that's one of the most repeated words and phrases of Jesus. "He who has ears, let him hear," drawing the attention in. You know, we really think of the Sermon on the Mount, and everyone points to that and they say, what a great piece of work that Jesus did there. But, you know, you ask yourself the question, did Jesus just do that one time? You know, really reflect on that. Did Jesus just do that one time? Did he just do the Sermon on the Mount one time? You know, I think we're all probably under the impression that Jesus repeated that many times. As he traveled to multiple places, he gave that same lesson again and again and again. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Do you really think that Jesus was just repeating these stories one time? But we see the power of repetition not only in the teachings of Jesus, but we see it throughout the Bible. In fact, sometimes people are perplexed when they read through the Bible and they find the exact same verse repeated again. We see that in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25, it matches Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 11. Now, some people will point at that with skepticism. But you know what? When I look at it, I see the wisdom in that. The wisdom of repetition, again and again and again. Certain ideas, certain principles, certain ideas, Jesus repeated again and again and again. He hammered the ideas home. Why? Because we're so forgetful. If you don't repeat it over and over again, you will forget it. In fact, there was a gentleman named Ebenhoff, and he has this thing called the Ebenhoff Forgetting Curve. And what he did was he did research on these totally random words that he did research on. And he did research and see how long he could remember these random words over a period of time. And his research basically created this curve that if you don't review material, you'll forget it, which is pretty simple. But it gets really scary when you really get down deep into his research, and it basically says that if you teach someone this week something, if you test them on the same thing the next week, they'll forget about 70% of it. Now that's pretty amazing. You know, you think of spelling tests, you think of all the things in school that are taught. If you just teach it one week and you never review it, by the next week they're going to forget about 70% of it. Repetition is so important. And we see it throughout the teaching of Jesus. Again and again and again, he's hammering stuff home over and over and over again. You know, so many teachers can relate to the idea that we say, "Hey, you remember what I taught you yesterday?" And they're like, "Oh, I don't know. You remember what we went over last week in class?" "I don't know." You know, we forget. We're forgetful. Without the repetition, without the repeating, we'll forget those things. I think Jesus had a natural understanding of that, and he repeated ideas over and over again. We're forgetful as students, adults, as human beings. In fact, if you look into long-term memory research, I'm not saying that they have it down conclusively, but they say 21 days for habit, and sometimes they say even more than that. But, you know, you start to look at these things. And some research says it takes 50 repetitions to move it into your long-term memory. 50 repetitions to move something into your long-term memory. So how many times do you need to hear the story of Abraham and Sarah before it actually gets into your mind? How many times do you need to hear this parable before it gets in your mind? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And Jesus' teachings were all around that. When you really read through the Gospels and you think about it, it's like, wow, over the course of this many years, this is what Jesus came up with. And you know what he did? He repeated it, he repeated it, he repeated it. Everywhere he went, every city he came to, he repeated those ideas. Another powerful teaching principle that Jesus took on was stories and parables. And we could go through it. You know, we have the wise man and the foolish man building on the sand and on the rock in Matthew chapter 7. We have the new cloth and the old garment in chapter 9. We have the new wine and the old wineskin, chapter 9. We have the parable of the sower in chapter 13. We have the tares in chapter 13. We have the parable of the mustard seed in chapter 13. We have the leaven in chapter 13. The hidden treasure in chapter 13. The pearl of great price in chapter 13. The net in chapter 13. The lost sheep in chapter 18. The unforgiven servant in chapter 18. The laborers in the vineyard, chapter 20. I mean, just again, again, again. And we go all the way to the end of the book. I mean, we can keep going. The wedding feast in chapter 22. We have the wise and foolish virgins in chapter 25. We have the parable of the talents in chapter 25. Stories, 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 parables, parables, parables. Things that can easily be remembered. Things that can be easily repeated. Again and again and again. What power in the teaching of Jesus Christ? Do you really think that these stories and parables were only told once? Oh, they were told again and again and again. And the magic of them is that when Jesus told a story or a parable, they could be remembered easily and they could be repeated to somebody else. Again and again and again, the power of repetition, so on and so forth. Certainly Jesus, he had the teaching principle of using stories, of relating to people on a level that they could understand. Another thing that I like about Jesus and his teachings is really he made every moment teachable. You know, even when he was challenged, in Luke chapter 10, it says the lawyers come and they're challenging him about, the laws in respect of love your neighbor, and then they ask him the question in Luke chapter 10, well, who is my neighbor? And then, you know what he does? In the moment that he's challenged and people are challenging him, what does he come up with? A story. The story of the Good Samaritan. See, Jesus' teaching was unique in so many ways, but he took every moment and made it teachable. You know, you think about it for a second, and you think about all these moments that Jesus made teachable. Hey, we're fishing. Teachable moment. Hey, you're sick. Teachable moment. Hey, someone's died. Teachable moment. Hey, you're getting water from a well. Teachable moment. Jesus made every moment a teachable moment. Every moment he could tie to spiritual things, spiritual ideas, he used stories and he used repetition. What powerful teaching that Jesus had. So when I look at Jesus, he had a strong grasp of teaching principles. And the problem was, is as I started digging into the teachings of Jesus, is I just kept finding more and more and more. I just couldn't stop. I just kept going. I kept going. I couldn't stop. It was just like, he is the greatest teacher. He was using all the things that we are told over and over again. You know, you should repeat ideas. Jesus was the king of repetition, repeating ideas and stories over and over again. He was the king of stories and parables. Things that people could easily remember in an understandable way. And he made every moment teachable. I admire that about Jesus. I try to take on those teaching principles as I teach in the secular world, but also as a preacher. Try to repeat ideas. Try to focus on stories that people can relate to. Not only stories that people can relate to, but making every moment teachable in some form or fashion. Something else I admire about Jesus and his teaching is his consistency. His consistency. His message was consistent, his treatment of individuals was consistent, and his conduct was consistent. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus, his message was consistent. He did not change, he did not falter, he did not say, well, I've got a different audience here, a different audience here. The only way he would change is to change to make it more understandable for the audience. But really, his message never changed. It was always the same ideas, the same principles. In John chapter 12, verses 48-49, says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me command what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus was consistent with his message. Over and over again, as he traveled, didn't matter where he was, the message was consistent, the ideas were consistent, again and again and again. You know, I admire this. As a middle school teacher, I get a new group of kids every 40 minutes. Every 40 minutes, I get a new group. And you know what? I'm supposed to give the same message every 40 minutes. And you know what I hate to tell you? I'm not that consistent. Sometimes a period gets better instruction than another one. And every teacher probably knows your first period is the worst. Because you're kind of like working out all the bugs, you know? You're like, oh, I spent too long on that. I spent too long on this. I should have went here. I should have went here. And we all do that. We analyze our teaching and how we can do it better. And then I get a second shot, second period. And then I get a shot, third period. And then what happens is, as the day wears on, you know what happens in those last periods of the day? I start to get tired. And I lose the consistency sometimes. That's what I admire about Jesus, is his message was consistent. As he was rotating from city to city, as he was going to various places at various times, his message never changed. He kept the same message. He was consistent. You should rely on the teachings of Jesus. You know, Jesus also had something amazing, as he had command of his subject. You know, Jesus could not only teach the commoners, but he could teach the elite of the day. I mean, he had command of the subject, which is what all teachers are supposed to have. You're supposed to know your subject inside and out, so when the questions come, you can answer them. And certainly Jesus did that. He had a command of the subject. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." All these people were coming out, and he spoke with authority. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, it says, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these things, that people were astonished at his teaching." In John chapter 7, verse 46, the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." He knew his subject. He knew it inside and out. When the challenges came, he was able to answer it again and again and again. He was incredibly consistent. In fact, many times Jesus would call individuals out and he'd say, "Have you not read?" He knew. He knew what they should have read. He knew his subject inside and out. He knew the message from the Father that he was taking to the people. And many times he'd say, "Have you not read?" He was taking on anybody. He knew his subject inside and out. He was incredibly consistent with his message. Something else I admire about Jesus and him as a teacher is that he was consistent with his treatment of others. See, Jesus was fair. Jesus was just. Jesus had no partiality. And the Bible talks about God having no partiality. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11, it says, "Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weight and the bag are his work." God's fair. God's just. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Is our master just and fair? Are we fair and just to the people that are around us? You know, I ask myself as a teacher, am I just and fair? See, Jesus didn't take days off. He was just and fair every day. He didn't make mistakes in so many ways like we make mistakes. You know, and then I kind of pondered this thought for a long time, and maybe, you know, it's a thought, and then I got way off again. You know, when you study, sometimes that happens. Then I started thinking, you know, Jesus showed no partiality. You know, he was always just and fair. And then I thought this idea to myself, did Jesus ever have to apologize? And I thought that and pondered that, and I'm like, well, I got to get back, you know. I went off on a long journey. But did Jesus ever have to apologize? You know what, as a teacher, I've had to apologize on occasion. Well, why have I had to apologize on occasion? Because I wasn't just and fair. I wasn't consistent. I made a mistake. I wasn't just and fair in the situation that I found myself. But the amazing thing about Jesus is that he was just and fair consistently. You know, you think of favoritism or the lack thereof that Jesus had. Jesus wasn't about this favoritism. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For there is no partiality with God." In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says, "And Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." You know, I think about that, partiality, favoritism. I think about that and, you know, my teaching life. Do I show favoritism? Am I fair and just? Do I give some people things unfairly? Do I take away certain things unfairly? Am I fair and just? Am I like Jesus? You know, I think of many situations where Jesus could have shown partiality. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, there's someone who approaches Jesus that perhaps he might show some partiality too. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Well, who was this? A rich young ruler, you know. Is he going to bend his message? Is he going to be consistent? Is he going to give him the same message that he's given everybody else? Or is he going to change it just for this guy? Because he's rich. The rich young ruler. Is he going to change it? No, he was consistent. I think about myself. I think, do I show favoritism, partiality? Of course, James chapter 2 really hits on that very hard. James chapter 2 hits on that very hard, the idea of, are we showing partiality? James chapter 2, those first few verses, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, and fine apparel, and there also comes someone a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in the good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You know, my students look to me and see if I'm consistent. They see if I'm consistent in my treatment of individuals. You know what? It's interesting how it happens sometimes, but a student will walk through the door late. And that student that walked through the door late today is not the student that's normally late. You know, it's that perfect student. You know, that good student. That student that always does everything right, but for whatever reason today, they were late. And interesting enough, where all the kids' eyes go, it's not to the student that walked in late. You know where the eyes go? Who? How are you going to handle this, Mr. Lancaster? You know that you said that we should not show up late to class. You always hit these guys, the common offenders and abusers of that. But now, you know, the perfect student who never does anything wrong has now shown up late to class. What are you going to do? Are you going to show partiality? Are you going to be fair and just? You know, it's amazing how we'll rationalize things in our head. We'll say, well, I'll give them a pass, but is it fair and just? Are we showing partiality? You got to be careful sometimes. Some people might say give them a pass, but when you look at Jesus, did Jesus give people passes? When they made strict violations of whatever it was, whatever he was teaching, he was sure to call them out. You know, there's a word for that, rebuke. Jesus was not afraid to rebuke. Well, what's the definition of rebuke? Express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or action. People don't like to rebuke anymore. Jesus did it. And I think that he was consistent. Jesus was consistent rebuking his enemies. He was consistent rebuking his disciples. He was consistent rebuking the apostles. Yes, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. But you know what? Jesus also rebuked Peter. You think Peter would get a pass? You know, Peter followed him all this way. Peter stuck up for him. You know, Peter always asked the questions. Wouldn't Peter be the favorite? When Peter slipped up, you know what Jesus said? You slipped up. I admire that about Jesus. Sometimes I feel that I fall short in this area. When I look at Jesus, he's consistent with his message. He's consistent with his treatment of others. And certainly Jesus goes one step farther than I could ever. And he is consistent with his conduct. You know, sometimes it's hard. You get tired. You come in tired. Come in a little cranky. You know, things happen in your life. Are you consistent with your conduct? Are you a Christian all the time? Are there days that you feel like you want to slip off, go off to the side, want to have an off day? Jesus didn't have an off day. He was consistent with his conduct. And we're lucky that he was, because that's what we needed as a sacrifice for our sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm certainly not perfect, but when I think about Christ, he was. And we're so fortunate that he was consistent with his conduct, that he could be that perfect sacrifice. We weren't redeemed by corruptible things. With corruptible things, by worldly things, we were redeemed by perfection. When I look at Jesus, I look at his teaching principles and I say, wow. When I look at Jesus consistently, I say, wow. And the last area of Jesus' teaching that amazes me and that I try to emulate, as best I can, is that Jesus cares. You can tell when your teacher cares. Jesus cares for those that were around him. He cares for those that he was teaching. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's certainly comforting. That our teacher, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our God, cares for us. You know, Jesus had compassion on the crowd many times. And one passage says, and Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus certainly cares I think that's a great quality. But I think there's things that come from caring that sometimes people don't think about, is that when you're a teacher, like Jesus was, he cared, and we can see that through him caring for the crowd, caring in general. But you know what? When you care for individuals, there's some other things that you do. When you care for individuals, you test them. You know, as a teacher, I test my students all the time. Jesus tested his followers time and time again. Why did he do that? Because he cared for them. He cared for them. He tested them again and again and again. One example we find in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, and said to Philip, 'Where shall we find bread that these may eat?'" Verse 6 in John chapter 6. "But he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus was testing his followers. He was testing his followers at all times. Now this is the instance of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Hey, where are we going to buy food for all these people?" And the Bible says he was testing him. He was testing it. You know, you test the people that you care about. Maybe test is not the word that you like to use. Maybe it's challenge. You challenge the people that you care about. You challenge them to be better. You challenge them to be the best version of themselves. You challenge them in ways to grow. When you care, you challenge those that are around you. Something else I think about Jesus is not only did his caring lead into him having compassion, not only did his caring lead into challenging his followers, but his caring led him to tell the truth. And that's what we have to do as we go throughout this life. Is we have to care enough about the people around us to tell the truth. I always get stuck on Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth." I don't know if we can say that sometimes. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because I think that sometimes we think that caring is not telling the truth. But that's not the answer. But sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking that. The truth is the answer. The truth is caring for our fellow man and those that are around us. You know, I think of John chapter 6. There's a predicament where people are walking away from Jesus. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" See, Jesus wasn't going to change the message. He was going to tell the truth. Even if that truth meant that some people would walk away. There's so many things that we can go over. There's so many things that we can focus on. As I started digging and I started researching and I started reading, I went to all these other offshoots and had all these other thoughts. And it's just simple and plain. It can't be put into one lesson. But Jesus was the greatest teacher. Jesus was the greatest teacher because of the teaching principles that he had naturally. Jesus used repetition. Jesus used stories. Jesus made every moment teachable. But you know something else I admire about Jesus is consistency. I admire about Jesus' consistency that he was consistent with the message that he taught. I admire his consistency with his treatment of other individuals. I admire his consistency of his conduct. You could rely on Jesus. You knew what he was coming with. You knew how he was going to act. You knew how he was going to speak. You knew how he was going to treat you. Can the same be said for you? Can the same be said for me? When I look at Jesus, the greatest teacher, he cared. He had compassion for those that were around him. He challenged those that were around him, and he told the truth to those that were around him. Why would he do those things? Because he cared. He had compassion. The thing about these qualities is you can't fake them. You can't fake them. You can't fake using teaching principles. You're either using them or you're not. Jesus used them. You can't fake consistency. You're either consistent or you're not. Jesus was consistent. You can't fake caring. Jesus cared. Jesus, the greatest teacher. One that I try to look at and follow that example. He was the master teacher, the greatest teacher. And you know what? His teaching leads us to understanding that he came here, lived a perfect life, died for us, being a sacrifice for us so that we could become followers of him. Perhaps you walked away from the straight narrow path. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. There's nothing more that we would love to happen this evening. We'll help you in any way we can. If you're subject to orders of invitation, we ask you please come as we stand, as we sing.